Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Blogger News on the Radio. My name is Simon Barrett, and I will be your host today. This is another in our series of programs offering commentary and analysis on the upcoming Casey Anthony trial. Joining me in the studio is my wife, Jan. Hi, Jan.
Hello, Simon. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the program.
And from Sin City, Nevada, we have well-known crime writer, author, and all-around interesting guy, Denny Griffin. Denny, hello.
Good afternoon, everybody.
Denny, it seems to me, looking at the Weather Channel, but about the only place in the nation hotter than Sin City right now is Judge Perry's courtroom. Are you about ready to head for upper New York?
Yeah, about another month we're heading back, in about around mid-May.
Okay, and also from the currently volcanic Orlando area, we're joined by journalist Dave Knackle. Dave, it is always a pleasure to have you on the program.
Well, thank you, Simon, and it's very much my pleasure to be here today. Hello, everyone.
Dave, is there any truth in the rumor that's floating around that Judge Perry has put out a warning that fire retardant clothing is recommended inside the courtroom?
I think he's restricted it to underwear right now, so I don't think we're going to go to anything else. But yes, that's true.
And rounding out today's panel is our very, very good friend, William Cobra Storbs. Mr. C, great to have you on the program.
Good to hear you, Simon. Good to hear you. Hello, everybody.
Now, since last week, have you destroyed any more rooms in the house?
No, I'm actually putting them back together. But to say that I was in the market to hire a hitman for my damn self.
So,
It
obviously means that your young lady didn't try, hitmen.com.
She don't want nobody messing with what she's got, man. Come on now.
As always, our chat room is open, and I appear to be the only person that can't get into it. But I do invite you to ask your questions there. And I'm also going to steal a line from Jerry Springer. Be nice to each other. Okay, this week saw another 2 days of court wrangling, Wednesday and Friday. Dave, for the most part, this was a continuation of the Fry hearing. In broad terms, what was Wednesday all about?
It was, the whole thing was a hodgepodge. Because they crossed between the chloroform and the, what was the other one? Why do I have a mental block now? I was there all day, too. I don't know. Somebody help refresh my memory on this.
There was dogs.
Dogs
were involved.
To me, I understand the defense is going to try anything they can, but dogs have been used for a long time now to detect a lot of different things, including human death. So I think that was a worthless argument that came from the defense. I think for sure the judge is going to ignore that one. The other one with the chloroform, I don't know. He might he made a comment. The judge made a comment at one point. He said that what about the fact that Voss smelled the death? So I think if he does rule against some of the evidence being included, it's not going to affect what Dr. Voss says about the smell of human death. There's probably no one in the country who's quite as learned as he is. I mean, this guy works with dead people. So if anybody knows what dead people smell like, he's the man.
Wow. I mean, what an icebreaker at a party. So what's your party trick? Oh, I can smell dead people.
Yeah.
Denny, did you watch any of the antics this week?
I did not watch, but I read about some of them.
What do you make of what the defense is trying to do? Do you think that they've put up any sort of sensible argument that is going to get this evidence tossed out?
I don't believe that, Simon. I'm still of the opinion that I think Dave said a few seconds ago here that they're, you know, going through all the motions and throwing everything out there, hoping something works. But I'm still not convinced from anything I've heard about that they're really scoring any home runs with any of this stuff. I don't think it's going to work, and I'm optimistic most, if not all, the evidence is going to get in. It's going to be very damaging.
What about you, Cobra? Do you have any thoughts on this week's activities?
Yeah. I'll tell you one that I thought was most interesting. I think that scientific guy, what's his name? Lee? He used to be with the defense. He was on the Greek.
Dr. Henry Lee.
That's him. Did anybody see him on Jane Velez Mitchell the other night?
No.
No, I saw him on Nancy Grace.
Maybe he was Nancy Grace then. He was describing in great detail the things that were found in the trunk of the car, the pizza, the half-eaten this, the half-eaten that, the decaying food and everything else, and talked a little bit about it. I don't think he's with the defense team any longer, but it seemed to me that, you know, he's one of the greatest minds in the world with this stuff. It seemed to me that he really wasn't convinced that the smell of death was in that car, smell of garbage. And then, you know, they were going back and forth on the free breeze and the dryer rags and all that happy horse shit, which right there they had both tapes playing, so she definitely lied about it. But Mr. Lee thought maybe there was a couple of things that could have led to that smell of shit, whatever it is. See, I'm doing Dave. You got us all mind blanked right now.
Yeah, oh no.
Or whatever the hell it was. Shit.
No, decomposition.
Decomposition. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, also the I'm saying chloroform, but that's not the one. It's the other one. What's the other one?
Adipocere.
No, the one that you're supposed to be knocked the kid out with.
Oh well, that was chloroform.
Oh, was chloroform? Okay.
Yeah.
So that was chloroform and. Or something. There's another chemical that's real close to chloroform that did the same thing. But anyway, I was mind juggling there for a second. But nonetheless, I mean, Lee was kind of like out there in the middle of the thing flapping around. And I saw another special last night late on another channel where they were trying to show 48 Hours had a special last night. Anybody catch that?
No.
Well, I want to come around to that.
Catch that
one. Yeah, we'll come back to 48 Hours if that's
okay. Well, I have
okay.
Something I could say, add to what Cobra said, too.
Sure.
Which is, you know, what I found one of the interesting things that the defense did throw out there was that the chloroform came from Kaylee's bathing suit that
yeah.
When she was swimming in the apartment, Tony Anthony Lazaro's apartment swimming pool. And that was kind of like an attorney that I talked to this week about the case said that it's interesting that by the time this goes to trial, the defense is giving everybody handing them all the cards. You know exactly where they're going to go with this. So it's right now giving the state time to counter.
I told you, what was it, 3 weeks ago, I told you they were going to go in that direction. I don't know whether they listened to the program and then say, damn, that's a good idea. But
you're giving them ideas.
Well, you know what? I'd rather give them that kind of an idea to go with. It would make somebody sit up and listen for a minute longer than trying to blame George.
Well, George shouldn't. I don't think George is guilty.
No, I don't think he has the wherewithal.
Yeah. He can't stomach that.
There was an interesting rumor that floated around. I didn't hear it. Jen, I think you read something about
it. I read it on someone's blog. I can't remember where I read it from. One of the stations in Orlando's chat room said, you're talking about the one that...
The heart sticker.
Yeah, where they said that during one of the days, I don't remember what day it was, that Casey whispered to Baez asking him, what about my heart sticker? And they claimed that she used the word my. So I don't know if if anybody heard that or if that was just a rumor or what.
Yeah, I mean,
I didn't hear it.
Yeah, the inference was that it was during a break and one of the mics was
still on.
Yeah, I certainly didn't hear it, but it is an interesting comment. You know, the use of, if indeed it was even said.
Right.
Yeah, you know, I mean the difference between what about the heart sticker and what about my heart sticker mean very, very different things.
But of course, like I said, now that it's nothing, nobody said that it's definitely happened, and it could very well be a rumor. So.
Okay, what about some of the other items that were up for grabs this week? Things that I quite honestly feel that the jury, when they're eventually picked, are definitely going to be snoozing through. But the whole business about root growth, Dave, they've done this root growth thing to death.
Yeah, and that's not even a play on words. They really have. What's interesting is that you've got Dr. David Hall, okay, and he will testify that plants have been there for months and months and months. Then on the defense side, you got Dr. Jane Bock, and she's going to say that some of the plants have been there for only a matter of weeks. But, you know, what doesn't work for me is the fact that that what Bock is saying, well, sure, plants grow at different times of the year. You might have had a plant that started to grow in the middle of June, and then you got another plant that started to grow in the middle of November in Florida. So that doesn't mean that the body was thrown in there in November. You understand my logic there? You know, by making statements like that, it doesn't really verify anything when it comes to a time frame, unless you can knock out the plants that came months and months ago.
Okay, what bothered me, and you know, maybe I came into the middle of the discussion and missing something fundamental, you know, from early on, that there was this big business about how can you estimate how old a plant is by its root growth when you don't know what type of plant it was to begin with. Where did that come from?
I don't know. I mean, that's really an odd one. I don't know how you can do that. And I think the defense scored some points on that. But I think that, you know, the judge is going to let all that in, and then it's going to be up to Sims, for example, to go in there and counter with their with Bock. You know, because I think when I listened to that, I thought, oh, that's kind of strange. I mean, there I sat with this guy on the phone, Hall, and when she questioned him, I mean, he couldn't say for sure he knew what the plant was. Or, you know, he took it from photographs mostly. Well, you know, there's a lot at stake when it comes to a person's life, And she made that abundantly clear. And I think that there might be an issue with that. I think that they'll be able to affect the jury. You know, but there's so much more evidence. But that might be a problem for the state.
Okay, Denny, you were having a good chuckle. Here's the deal. Right, as far as I could see, out of left field came this idea that, you don't know what type of plant it was, so, you know, how can you estimate root growth? If you don't know what the plant is, I could understand it being somewhat difficult, but I equally find it hard to believe that, you know, that there wasn't something of an evidentiary nature that identified the plant. Denny, your thoughts?
Yeah, well, you know, you mentioned at the start you thought there was going to be some things that when the jury's finally picked they will snooze through. Well, this kind of stuff to me is a snoozer. I understand it's undoubtedly important, but it's not the kind of thing that my head goes easily around. And yes, it would seem to me that with all the technology, and again, this is by no means any area of expertise of mine, but it seems as though they should be able to, they have the ability to identify this stuff and, you know, what it was or what it is and when it was there. I'm not sure why they don't.
Cobra, you live in Florida, and you're our green-thumbed expert. In fact, I understand you were out in the garden earlier today. Do you think it's possible that, you know, the law enforcement managed to grab a bunch of roots and not bother with the green bits so that people knew what they were from?
Well, I'm still in the garden. In fact, I'm looking for my earpiece right now so I can keep one hand in the dirt pile. I'm transplanting plants. But
you grow potatoes this year.
I think what the problem, I think what we're missing here is everybody says it was three plastic bags. As I understand it, it was two plastic trash bags and the hamper bag, which is a cloth bag. Now, I haven't seen the bag, and I don't know. But what I do know is that some of the growth grew into that cloth bag or that canvas bag, and that's what they're basing the thing on. I don't know that they have to know about the rings of it or anything like that. They just need to know about the sprouting of that stuff, how fast it grows and how fast would it go into that bag, you know, become part of that bag. But as far as, you know, what type of plant and all that, I don't think that's ever been laid out there. Maybe they just said, well, it's growing in the bags. It's been here for a while. But, yeah, I would probably want to know what kind of plant it is. Does it grow like this passion vine I have that grows about 6 inches every night, you know? So could it be something like that? I don't know. I don't know if it was, you know, something weird or if it just, you know. You should know that. I mean, if they got all these experts in there, they should know something about the plant growth, what type of plant it was, and how fast does it germinate and all that kind of business. They should know.
Right. Well, I'm just talking about, you know, basic evidence collection. Right? We have a meter reader who spots something out of the ordinary, and, it turns out to be bones in a bag. Surely law enforcement 101 is, you know, you keep the, quote, crime scene intact. You know, you take photographs, you know, before you disturb anything.
Well,
right.
So, you know, what happened to the rest of the plants?
Well, I just want to say that I think there's a good possibility when you had you take the fact that a lot of the bones were scattered around a half acre plat there, you know, then I think you got animals that could have been, you know, how they dig with their paws or whatever, and they could have covered part of the skeletal remains with dirt that caused bones to grow and connect. But I think when you're talking about some of these plants, they might, and why wasn't the plant attached, just the roots? I think there's a possibility that some of them might have died by that time, and the roots were all that were left. So I think what you're looking at, what they're trying to look at then is, like, what time of year would these types of roots grow? Like, tomato roots don't look like other roots, like bamboo roots or something like that. But,
right.
Yeah, I don't know. I think there's a lot of variables that we just don't know about.
I don't – the whole thing bothers me. I mean, number one, if I was a prosecutor, I'm not sure I'd play this whole root game if, you know, I was up against this kind of aggravation. You know, I'd just say, well, there were roots. We don't know what they were. And quite honestly, I'm not convinced that it's an important part of their case. Maybe I'm wrong. Denny, do you view these roots as being significant?
I don't. You know, Simon, what I think a lot of this stuff, including the roots, and I could be way off base, but I think you're going to, assuming the evidence is allowed, I have the experts on both sides are going to try to discredit it on the defense, affirm it on the prosecution, and the jurors, if they are awake through it, they're going to have to make a decision. I don't see it as being done type stuff, and you know, I don't think it's going to. I don't think the outcome of the trial is going to hinge on this.
No, I just can't see it. Jan, you're the person that doesn't have a green thumb. You keep telling me we shouldn't have plants because they'll die.
No, that's an outside plant.
But, I mean, do you view this root evidence as having really anything to do with the case?
Not really, but then again, I don't know that much about plants anyway, so...
Okay, let's. I think we've got to the root of that story. Cobra, you came up with something interesting last week, and in fact, I think you said it the week before. It's all on this subject of chloroform. This week it was very clear that, you know, the evidence as it's being presented doesn't fit with what the defense wants, and they want it turfed. But there's been no attempt to turf the computer evidence. And to me, that is the real telling aspect. Wouldn't you think so? Well, we seem to have lost Cobra. No doubt he's digging up roots. Dave, I'll bounce the question to you.
Okay. Well, rephrase it again. It has to do with. What was it again?
Okay, I'll get the court reporter to repeat
okay.
it.
Yeah, do that.
No, the chloroform evidence. All right.
The computer searches.
Right. But, well, how come they haven't attacked that?
Because I think what they're going to do is, I mean, that's considered evidence, and there's no way they can. You can't file a FRI motion against the computer, you know. So it comes into play just like that car. You can't take the car away because the car is a piece of evidence. So, but what the defense can do is it can attack it by saying that, well, we don't know exactly who sat at that computer doing that search. But then the state can come back and say, well, on this particular day and time, we looked at George's work records, we looked at Cindy's, and they weren't home that day. The only person that could have been here was Casey. So I think there's going to be a lot of that kind of stuff going on, and whatever the defense throws out there, the state is going to be able to counter with something more factual. And,
right.
And I don't think the jury is going to be swayed by that. By the defense.
My where I was coming from was I'm in complete agreement that the computer deal is not part of the Fry hearing. However, seeing as the defense moved to turf out the 911 calls. The Universal Studios stuff. I'm wondering why they didn't go after the computer as well.
I don't think they can. I don't think they can because it's a piece of physical evidence, like the car. You know, it's not like where you're using some kind of a testing machine, like the gas spectrometer. You know, that's different. And that is a Fry issue because it's never been tested in a court of law before, this particular test. And but, you know, when you're looking at something physical, tangible, like a computer, those records are there, like cell phone pings. They're there. That's the truth. You can't alter that. And there was a high amount of chloroform found in the trunk, and chloroform was searched on a computer. I don't see how you can take it away.
I think we have Cobra back with us. Cobra, are you there?
Okay.
Yeah, I've been here the whole time. My battery's running dry, so I had to throw it on the charge. But I disagree with what Dave just said there, because the thing of it is just because they have a computer doesn't mean that she was actually doing the searches on that computer. And how they acquired that computer would bring into why I would say they could get rid of that computer evidence easier than they could the car. Of course, the car, you know, admitted it hers. It was parked over there. All this, that part, I understand about the car, but the computer, no. There's nothing been said so far why they couldn't cancel out the computer. If they cancel out the computer, they got a good run at it. They still have a good run at it anyway, Simon, based on the fact that there's absolutely no way to determine who was actually doing these searches on the internet. Hell, it could have been Lee, or anybody knows. Could be anybody.
But if Lee was at work that day too, I mean, Cindy, George, and Lee were gone, and uh-huh. Casey's cell phone pings showed that she was at that, you know, at or near the house. Uh-huh. Who else would it have been?
I don't know. See, there you go. But you just asked the major question, Dave. Who? And the minute you say who, there must have been somebody, or you wouldn't have said who. So,
well, but
would
that would mean that somebody broke into the house if it wasn't Casey.
Not necessarily. You know, and also, you know, with the computers, Simon will tell you, he's probably one of the best computer guys I know. The clocks sometimes don't work on them things. There's a whole lot of things. I'm not convinced that everybody was at work except her that particular day, and she was the only one that could have been there. You know, she had so many different boyfriends, girlfriends, and people stopping by. It could have been anybody.
Well, yeah, it could have been.
I'm playing devil's advocate because we all know she's the one who was looking this shit up, okay? I'm just throwing it out there for the other side. If everybody agrees to everybody, we ain't got no show here.
So somebody's got to disagree and take the other side. You know, if we're
beating her in the head,
I mean, we may as well hang up the phone.
what bothers me is that, you know, the car and the computer are really very similar. They both have tangible aspects. You know, you can kick a computer, you can kick a car. And there are intangible aspects. The stain in the trunk and the contents of the hard drive. You heard the stain in the trunk could have been put there by anyone. I'm not saying it was, but you know, it could have been.
But even George said that. Even George said that he saw that basketball stain, size stain, when he was at the junkyard. And other than that, the last person to have the car was Casey.
Right.
How do you know? How do you know, Dave?
Well, because it was towed from. Because she even said so. She said she ran out of gas.
And left.
And somebody helped her push the car into Amscot. She said so herself.
And it said for 2 or 3 days, the chain of custody on that car is broken. That's all I'm going to tell you from an investigator standpoint.
Well, that's
if
true.
If someone has something, the chain of custody has to be maintained. Once that car was parked at wherever it was parked and ran out of gas or whatever it did, the chain of custody was broke because nobody really knows who came by, saw that car, messed with that car, did anything to that car during that period of time. There's no chain of custody there.
In fact, didn't Cindy allege at one point that somebody stashed a body in there while it was at the pound yard, and then they removed it later? But that's how that rings a bell with me that was thrown out there at one point.
Cindy said that. She said if anybody had to put a body in there, it must have been at the damn impound yard because the guys at the impound yard said it smelled just like a car they had in there not too long ago that had a body in it. Right? Am I right?
Yeah.
Right. Okay, good. Well, at least I got good memory on that. That's where they hung their hat on that. That's where Cindy went to that story. That's where you're getting that from, Denny.
Yeah, I got a question about the evidence, Simon. Can we go back to that? I got lost here somewhere in the shuffle.
Absolutely, Denny.
I want to go back to the discussion between Dave and Cobra about the computer. And Dave at one point said the computer, like the car and so forth, but the cell phone. You examine the cell phone, the pings are the pings. That's kind of a recognized thing. It's an established method to try to find out where somebody was, where they were calling from, and so forth. The car, now I know the car, they're into all the scientific stuff about the odors and the chloroform and the cadaver dogs, and was the science proved? Has it been established as credible? Or are we just assuming without scientific fact that the odors meant this or the stain meant that. But it almost seems like with a computer, it would have to be the case where the computer is the computer. I think it's pretty well established that you can record what happens on the computer, that information is there, what searches were conducted at what time, and so forth. So it almost seems to me they've got to admit that into evidence and then let the defense, during their case, raised the issue of, okay,
right,
we admit that the computer showed such and such. However, nobody's proven beyond a reasonable doubt that Casey Anthony was the only one with access to that computer at that specific time, and that they would have, you know, they would go about proving or disproving it in the courtroom, but not disregarding or disallowing the evidence prior to the trial. I don't know, that just seems to me they'd have to do it that way and let the two sides argue it out about who had access and what time they had access.
That's right.
Let me help you just a little bit there, Denny, on the cell phone triangulation and what we commonly refer to as cell phone pings. The difference between the computer and the cell phone is this. There is no way to determine who had the cell phone at the time that it was pinged unless you pull all the phone records of who was talking to who. And if the phone records line up with the person's germane to her, to Katie. If they're her friends that she was talking to, and then 3.5 seconds later, the tower read it at this location, and then so-and-so later it rang there, you can definitely tie the cell phone to that person through germane friendships of, you know, people known to her. And, you know, going back to their people and saying, did you receive a phone call from this girl this particular time? Yes, I did. Okay, the phone was definitely in your possession at the time that these triangulations read out. However, on the computer searches, there's no way to do that the same as you would do triangulation of the cell phone. And just because they have triangulations that the cell phone was at certain given spots, until they can prove that the person that owns that phone was calling people known to that person, that's how they make that a solid case. But if it's just triangulating and it's not doing anything, nobody's having any conversation, then it's also equally as hard to prove who actually had that cell phone at that given location. But that
well,
is
they
there
were
is.
All, they were all traced back to Casey. So,
well,
I mean, there's no problem there. And the same thing with the computer. If that computer clock is off, it doesn't matter because there's a log, just like cell phone pings. If you go through Bright House or AT&T or whoever you get your internet service, whoever your internet, whatever your internet service provider is, they keep records of all that. And so their clock is right on, and they know what time it was and where it started, you know, down to the, you know, to which computer, basically. Because you'll have the browser information, you'll have the operating system. Like one computer might have had XP and the other one had Vista. Who knows? But they can determine that information. Because I can see
okay.
that when I see people.
Okay, I have to play devil's advocate for a moment.
Here we go. Here we go.
Oh, no.
Jan and I... it's sit in our mission control here, and you know we run thousands of searches on subjects that are just so strange they defy imagination. I mean, you could get hold of our hard drives and go, wow. These guys must be serial killers.
You know, I've kind
I mean,
of thought
we're
that.
Not. We're you know, researching for stories. You know, so yeah, just because there are searches done on a computer doesn't mean it's not an admission of guilt necessarily. I mean, sure, you know, ties in nicely from a circumstantial standpoint, but I don't think you can use it as the mainstay.
But we do have an explanation of what we're searching for.
We do?
When we're doing it, we have a reason why we're doing it, and we can say why we're doing it. Has anybody explained why they even searched for chloroform to begin
yes.
with?
Yes, Cindy did. Cindy said that she might have been looking for chlorine for her pool, and she spelled it wrong. But the funny
but
thing is, they don't
use
chlorine
use
in their swimming pool.
Really?
What?
What do they use?
They use
Go
some
again.
Non-chlorine
That's
based.
That's what I'm saying.
They
don't even use chlorine in her swimming pool.
Okay.
Right.
That's why the child was swimming. That's why they came up with this story
that
the child was swimming.
That's why they said Tony Lazarus.
Thank you. Okay, good.
Exactly.
Now I want to know why that fit the puzzle. Now it fits the puzzle perfectly.
Aha.
Aha. Because they have to have chlorine and urine together to form a form of the gas, the ether, or the chloroform. And the thing that's the one I was looking for earlier, ether. Ether has a knockout potential the same as chloroform. Ether is kind of probably a little quicker, I guess, and probably easier to determine. But... yeah, that's why Lazarus' poo was mentioned, because they're not using a chlorinated system. Beautiful, beautiful.
Yeah, well, but, you know, that's an interesting point that you bring up, Simon. But, I mean, I think that if you take someone searching for chloroform and then a high amount of chloroform being found in the trunk, well, that's kind of like one of those, you know, what else would it be? And that's one of the reasons why the defense wants this testimony thrown out. You know, they don't want that chloroform information in the trial because the state can tie it in with that computer search.
Denny, do you think that's what the state plans on doing?
I wouldn't be a bit surprised, Simon. They're going to tie all that stuff in together. That's my suspicion, and wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, I am still just amazed, and I'd have gone after that computer from the get-go.
Hell yes. Hell yes.
Someone just asking the chat room something that might be helpful, too. Tony, forgive me if I say it wrong, Lazaro, is that how you pronounce his name?
Yeah.
Question him? Did he say Kaylee was at his apartment and swimming in their pool?
Yes.
He did say that.
Yes.
There you go, folks. There goes the ball game.
Yep. July, June 2nd, I believe.
Yeah, but that's a long time before.
Well, not really. If you let it sit in the trunk all that time, for one thing, it's not going to have any air to dry.
Did they find the bathing suit in the trunk?
No, but she could have taken that out at some point. You know, so there's a way to explain some of this stuff.
Yeah, well, it's not. I'm not buying it.
We didn't think you would, Jan. That's why you're not going to be on the jury, Jan, by God. You're not going to be on the jury.
She's lucky I'm not. I'd hold that jury up real fast.
They'll all make you foreman of the damn jury.
Yeah, and here's something that Eli Grandma said on the chat. State could allude to the chloroform connection without stating it as the cause of death, which is true. You know, they could easily sit there and say, this fits the type of woman Casey is.
I don't know. That kind of goes to prior acts. I'm Jeff.
Overruled.
Hey,
you say?
Denny, I want to bounce this off you. You've followed many, many cases, and you were indeed an investigator for a number of years. I'm of the opinion that the prosecution are just viewing this evidence as nice to have. If it gets tossed, who cares? Is that the way you see it?
Yeah, well, again, I repeat, I don't think this is, I don't think their whole case rests on this. And obviously they'd like it in. I think it could help their case. They'd like it in. But if the judge rules against some of it, I don't think they're going to throw in the towel and say, well, that's it, we can't win. It's interesting to talk about and all that kind of stuff.
No, rock. Feel it.
What's that, Cobra?
No, I'm sorry. I was, I pulled some plant. I wanted my girl to feel it. I said, come here, feel it. Sorry. I was supposed to mute you.
He was talking to his plants.
Talking to my plants. They grow when you talk to them. Feel that.
I think they may just as soon have it, but if not, it's not the end of the world.
Dave, same question for you. I mean, this scientific evidence, if it all gets tossed as junk science, I don't see it as a really big dent in the prosecution team, in the prosecution case. But do you think it is?
Well, I mean, everything is important to the prosecution because the more you have in there, the more it proves their cause. But I think that we tend to look at this as, well, if that doesn't get in, that's just one piece of hundreds or thousands. But, you know, if the defense, and it's their job to whittle away at all these hundreds and thousands of pieces of evidence, before you know it, you know, there's something wrong here. and the state doesn't have that much of a case anymore. But I think that it'll come down to the judges because of either or. One would be that if he allows it, it is a precedent-setting decision he makes, it may cause a retrial down the road on appeal. But if he doesn't allow it, I don't think it's going to hurt. I don't think it's really going that particular piece of evidence is going to hurt. The fact remains that chloroform was found. And, I mean, that she searched for something. And that could tie into well, she was looking for some means, whether we have the proof or not. And, but I think that in the end, that one thing right there isn't going to hurt because anyway you look at it, Voss is going to go there and say it smelled like a dead human in the damn car. And that's backed up by by Casey's own mother.
I just wanted to interject something there about the, coming up for a new trial. I can tell you this for a fact. Any kind of verdict against this girl is going to result in some type of an appeal anyway, because it's a death penalty case. So there's going to be an appeal. You can bet your bottom dollar on that. No matter what they get rid of or what they keep or if anything comes back other than a walk, it's appeal, period and simple. So I don't think anybody's afraid of the appeal process because it's a given.
But an appeal doesn't mean a new trial. You know,
well,
it's automatic appeal.
It's going to go to automatic appeal anyway, no matter what, being it's a death penalty case. And just given the fact that too many things get struck out or this, that, the other, we'll grant a new trial. You know, I don't see it going any other way but that direction. And I don't see how they could say no to a new trial for the simple reason. They just argue that the fact that, you know, it was prejudiced because of where it was held and this, that, and the other. So there's so many factors in there to grant her a new trial if she doesn't get a favorable decision going in the first time. So,
right, and in fact, on that note, let's talk about the place for the trial, or more importantly, the place where the jurors are going to be coming from. I have to admit that I watched with some interest on Friday when Judge Perry basically laid the law down about jury selection. We're going somewhere, and we're going to start at 9 o'clock on Monday. Hopefully, we will be done Thursday, or maybe Friday. If not, we're going to come back to Orlando, and we're going to do it here. And if you still can't agree, we'll go someplace else. The tone was
Simon,
clear.
I think you're going to find some hillbillies without no TVs and ain't never heard of Orlando. And you probably go over to Black and find some folks over there that would be more than willing to sit on the jury for this one, thinking it was Haley and confused it with Kaylee. I mean, you know, shit. I don't know where he's going. I heard rumor that they were going to try Miami and try to pull a jury pool out of Miami. But the minute you bring in a jury, you're sequestering them. You got 12 pissed off people. Or more.
It's more than that. I believe that.
It's 50. It's probably 50 they're going to go get. And you got 50
No. I think in this situation it's going to be 20. 12 jurors and 8 alternates. Can someone verify that?
Well, in order to get that many, you're going to have to bring in 50 to 100 because once they do their vlogs and all the crap that they do and start asking all kinds of questions, each side gets to get rid of so many, so they're going to have to bring in a huge number just to get down to their 20 or whatever number it is.
Okay, Dave, do you have any idea, any guess on how big a pool they're going to
they're going to get 12 jurors and they're going to get 8 alternates. And, I'll go on record and say that it's not going to come from Miami.
Right. Are you on record saying that, Dave? Is that what you said?
Yes.
Okay.
Do you know
where it's coming from, Dave?
No, I'm not going to say that.
But do you know? I said, do you know?
No, of course I don't.
Well, then how are you going to disagree with me saying they're coming out of Miami?
Because the last thing that anybody wants to do is give Baez what he asked for. You know, it's not going to go there. Just my guess.
They'd be surprised. If you say, listen, you'll buy me a beer if it happens.
I'll buy you a case.
Okay.
Okay. My question, though, is how big a pool are they going to pull from? Are they going to pull from a pool of 100 or 200?
Oh, I would say probably 100, 200, somewhere. I think he might have mentioned something about that. It was a significant number that he's going to take the they're all going to fit into a big room, like an auditorium or whatever, and then he's going to question, like the media rooms out this courthouse is pretty large. So they're going to go to the media room probably at that courthouse, wherever they are, and put everybody in there, and the judge will ask questions, and then he'll screen out the first ones, and then once he's satisfied, then the jury, defense and the prosecution have their go at him. So, I think that it's important to say that people come to me here and say what's going on with the case. So I know that there are people that don't follow this crime at all. So, or they'll ask me, well, has she been convicted yet? And so I think that you could pull a jury from this area without any problem.
You're kidding me. Come on. No. They're just asking you that just to play games with you. There's nobody in Orlando asking you if she's been convicted yet or not. Come on now.
Yeah, there have been plenty of people that have asked me that, Cobra. But at the same time, you can turn around and look at that and say, well, by asking me has she been convicted yet, that's already a prejudicial question. You know, not a question of her guilt or innocence, you know, because most people, I think, do think that she did it. But I think there's a lot of people that don't care about this thing.
Yeah.
Cobra, are you still gardening?
Man,
or are you mixing drinks?
Brother, man, I am gardening. The only reason I was trying to get a beer out of him, and he took it up to a case, because that means that we're going to get your favorite kind, because you know I don't drink anyway, so I want to make sure I get my buddy took care of.
Nah, I was wondering if you could put the rototiller down.
That was a bag. He can hear everything. I was shaking the last little drop of dirt out of a bag. Sorry.
No problem. Okay.
That's not a rototiller. I wish I had a rototiller. It'd make a job a lot faster here.
Simon.
Yes.
Danny. Simon, can I jump back in here for a minute? I want to revise and extend my remarks about the evidence and whether, you know, the scientific stuff, whether it gets admitted or not. I was thinking it over, listening to the other panelists here, and I see it being more important, not as any one item, but I think if all this stuff gets in, yes, maybe the defense could say, well, okay, nobody's proved beyond a reasonable doubt that it was Casey at the bat when the searches were done on the computer. Nobody can prove it was this and that and the other thing. But if I'm a juror, and I'm thinking, okay, well, maybe the defense cast some doubt as to whether we could tie the cell phone or the computer right into Casey's hands. But if you have a mountain of this stuff, 5, 6, 8, 10 different years, by the time I get done listening to all that, I'm going to say, look, could they be mistaken on all of this? Should it all be disregarded? I mean, you know, and I think just the weight of it, if all this stuff gets in, could be powerful in that respect, where if only one thing gets in or none of it gets in, you don't have that that wall or that tsunami, if you will, of evidence, even circumstantial evidence, ain't her in. I think it may be more important in that aspect. It would be nice to have this overwhelming amount of evidence all pointing to her, even if some of it can be discredited a little bit. You look at it in total, and you start thinking, wait a minute, there's got to be something here.
right.
You're right, Denny. I like that analogy, Denny.
Yeah.
Actually, Denny, I was going to come to you next anyway, and all about the jury selection process. If we use a guesstimate of 200 people in a room, and Judge Perry says, okay, you know, anyone that, you know, has preconceived notions about the case, put your hand up. And everyone that wants to avoid jury duty is going to stick their hand up. Yeah, so, yeah, a number of those types of questions, you can whittle the group down to, let's say, 50 or 60. Judge Perry has said that there will be an individual voir dire process, which means that each prospective juror remaining is going to get grilled by both the defense and offense. I mean, is it reasonable to think that this process could be done within 4 or 5 days?
I've got reservations about that myself. I think it's very optimistic, you know, time frame they're setting here. I hope they can stick to it, but I don't know if they can. I wouldn't be surprised. In fact, they have apparently already backed up like 1 day. Of this, from the, what is it, the 16th to the 17th for actually opening the statement. I don't know who's best to answer this, maybe Dave, because he's there, but what are the odds of this thing really coming off close to that date of the for both things, the jury selection on the 9th and then the trial on the 17th? What are the chances of that being even close to those dates?
Well, you know, it was funny that you say something about that, because during that last hearing, when at the end, Baez did stand up and ask the judge, well, instead of coming all the way back here and then possibly going somewhere else after that, why not take some of that time and give it to us, you know, wherever we go? And instead of 1 week, you know, spread that out instead of trying to bring it all, you know, move it around the state. And the judge basically said, well, you know, we'll think about that when the time comes. So he didn't say no, but you know, I think it was a good point that Baez was trying to make there. Not that I'm trying to defend the defense at all, but I think that if this becomes a problem, because this could be a problem for the prosecution at the same time.
In what respect?
Well, I mean, suppose you get a lot of people that don't believe in the death penalty. You know, now granted, the judge is going to ask that probably before the state does, but I think there are questions that run along that line. Is the judge going to go into it more in depth? Like, okay, you agree with the death penalty, you know, Ashton might say, and then he might ask, but would you be able to sentence a 25-year-old woman to death? You know, so you get into those real fine type of questions, and there might be issues there. I mean, they're going to know whether these people are Democrats or Republicans by the time they're done with them. So there's going to be a lot of issues with a jury like this, because, you know, a lot of people might sit there and say, oh yeah, okay, judge, yeah, sure, I don't mind being on that. And once they get down to the nitty gritty and the panel start asking them questions, real deep questions, you know, they might feel a little bit more uncomfortable.
I think the real uncomfort level is going to come right off the bat. Okay, we're going to take you from your hometown, and we're going to stick you in a Motel 6. Well, no, it won't be a Motel 6. And you're going to have no access to news channels, newspapers, magazines. Your TV choices are going to be limited to QVC and the Golf Channel. I mean, whoa, Oh, and we're expecting this to be all done in 8 weeks. I mean, you're going to have a bunch of grumpy jurors before the trial even starts.
Yeah.
Uh-oh, ice cream man.
I think that Cobra stopped for ice cream.
That's not me with the ice cream truck, guys. Come on. But isn't that what I said about 20 minutes ago? You're going to have a bunch of pissed off jurors.
Right. I mean, Kenny, I just can't see this having a happy ending. I mean,
Simon,
no one in their right mind wants to spend, you know, 8 weeks at Motel 6 watching the
I
Golf
agree with
Channel.
You, but, you know, just for a minute, and I don't know what, the, do I dare use the word ratings? I guess that's the word to use. I don't know how this is going to come out when you compare the interest in this trial to the O.J. Simpson trial. I think there's going to be a lot of interest in it. Whether it matches O.J., I don't know. But do you remember the number of jurors and O.J. that ended up with books?
Almost all of them.
I'm just wondering, you know, how many of these people might, if they end up having to serve on that jury, I wonder how many of them are going to be taking written and mental notes, their stories as soon as that verdict comes in. To a publisher, to a writer, or to a TV documentary or whatever, because we're all human beings, and some of those jurors, they may be pissed off initially and say, okay, if I'm going to have to spend 8 weeks or 10 weeks or whatever it is in the Motel 6, I'm going to make myself a few dollars on it. I just wonder if that's going to happen the same as it did after O.J. You're going to start seeing a whole bunch of these jurors' names out there in articles and TV documentaries and all that kind of thing. It wouldn't surprise me any.
I think you're right.
If Peter Hyatt was on the phone today, he would tell you, because early on he said he didn't think this trial was going to be as large as the O.J. Simpson, but now he's changed it. It's going to be bigger than the O.J. Simpson trial. So in that trial, they definitely were, the jurors, when they finished, they were writing books and everything else. You best believe they're going to be writing books in this deal here, and not from a, you know, vindictive thing that, you know, like you said, Denny, that, oh, I had to sit in this trial for all this time. You know, some people don't get paid to sit into these things. So, yeah, they're going to make money off of it. Absolutely. Everybody's making money off of it. They're figuring Baez making money. Everybody make money.
Dave, do you agree that you know, the jury are, or at least a portion of the jury are going to be out for their own ends?
Yeah, but I think the underlying factor, the most dedicated people, which I think most of them will be, are doing their civic duty. I mean, I think it really comes down to that. Yeah, you're going to get somebody that knows they can make money. But, like, you get people that might not really think about it, and then after it's over with, somebody might come along and say, how'd you like to write a book? You know, I'm a ghostwriter. So that, you know, you might have somebody that might not normally think about that. But, you know, then this guy or woman, whatever, comes along and says, I can write a book that with your name on it, and you can make a lot of money doing it, telling us the inside stuff. And what went on...
Dave, I'm a businessman, and I'm going to tell you something. You are a writer, you're a news reporter and everything else. I would tell you this. You're watching the trial, you're there in the courtroom, you're doing this. The first thing that I would advise you to do is find out which one of those jurors or two or three of them that you feel that you could talk to, and get to talking to them and be that ghostwriter and bring that idea to them. I don't think it's a crime. Everybody else is making money off of it, and I'd like to see you retire, Dave, and I think you can retire.
Well, gee, thanks. You know,
I'm telling you what I believe.
Yeah, you got
if
that
I was a writer, I'd be sitting right there.
Yeah, why not? I mean,
why not?
People are saying, you know, you're trying to make money off of a dead kid, but, I mean, look, ABC paid $200,000 for pictures and videos of that dead child. Is anybody screening Bloody Murder over what ABC made off them?
My cousin would have to shut down his mortuary, because the last I checked, that's the only thing he knows how to do, is embalm your ass and put you in the ground. And ain't nobody ever accused him of making money off the dead folks because somebody got to do it. So, I mean, we didn't kill the kid, but being the kid is dead, you know, he's going to make money off of burying the kid. I believe it's just like that. I mean, you know, you're not the one that pulled the trigger, but you know, everybody in the food chain needs to be fed some kind of way. And if you're a reporter and that's what you write on, that's what you write on.
Okay, yeah. I want to move on here because, you know, the clock is ticking. A subject that keeps coming up is this whole deal that Casey Anthony is really being tried in the press. I want to ask the panel, do you feel that, you know, it is trial by press that's going on? Dave?
Cobra says no.
Well, yeah, but, you know, at the same time, that happens to presidents, that happens to anything that makes the news. There's going to be a slant to it, and that's what the news is all about. I mean, I wrote a piece, I wrote it originally in college. It's about slants, you know, and how you can write a report with any angle and make it seem like there's no angle at all. Because, you know, just like Fox News, to a diehard Republican, Fox News is straightforward, honest, and unbiased. But to a Democrat, it's the exact opposite. And the same thing is with CNN or MSNBC in particular. The Democrats look at that and say, well, no, that's straightforward. You know, there's nothing biased about it at all. And the Republicans cry foul. So the slant can be made in many different ways. And it depends on whoever's reading it and their take on it. So, you know, I don't think that I think that different news organizations have already sentenced Casey to death, for sure. But some haven't. I think some are more open-minded and less critical. But, I mean, that's just the nature of the beast.
It seems to me that there are some personalities involved. I'm going to do something I don't usually do on this program, but I want to introduce a quick musical interlude. My question is, did Chaney Mason send that to Kathy Bellick? Uh-oh, everyone's gone very quiet.
I'm sorry.
I thought you and Jan was fixing to get it on. I was listening. That sounded like bed sheets floating in their wind. I don't know what's going on there.
Okay, the situation between Chaney Mason and Kathy Bellick seems to have reached a pretty low spot. Dave, do you think that the pair of them should stop?
I don't know. I mean, anytime you have, I think that for one thing, Chaney Mason overreacts. I mean, way out of proportion. This goes with the territory. And Baez, believe it or not, has more of a grasp on that than the senior, much more professional Chaney Mason. So, look, reporters are there to ask questions. If they ask aggravating questions, sometimes I think when they write a report that's not true, like when Kathy reported that the Anthonys had signed a book deal with Simon Schuster. Well, it turned out not to be true, okay? But it made headlines, brought in ratings, ergo brought in a lot of advertising revenue. And people think that, oh, she's just like God's gift because she's really, you know. But the thing is, she works for a business that's out to make money, okay? So she might sensationalize. They never retracted that statement about the book, by the way. But you know, but Baez knows, I think he gets it more than Chaney Mason does. These people, I mean, you're going to run into these people when this is what you do for a living. And you decided to join the biggest, most sensational case in the last, what, 15 years? Bigger than OJ, let's say. So I don't know. I mean, I think I blame Mason more than anybody else.
Denny, two questions for you. Do you think this is trial by press? And do you have any thoughts on the Kathy Bellick, Chaney Mason ongoing squabble?
I think this is trial by Casey Anthony. If she had not acted so bizarre with the, you know, the Zanny the Nanny and the job at the Universal Studios or whatever, and all this stuff to begin with, this case would just be another, I believe this case would just be another very sad, tragic tale of a child dying possibly at the hands of a parent. Unfortunately, in this country, that happens quite frequently, and not every one of them get the exposure or the attention here. I believe what drove this or is driving this primarily was Casey's own conduct at the initial stages of the investigation, the failure to report the child missing for 30 days and all that kind of stuff. Now, yes, the news media now, as the trial gets closer, is reporting on it, especially the Florida outlets and so forth. But I think Casey, if she wants to know who's responsible for the attention and the negativity, she can look in the mirror, and she can also take a look at her parents and her family, actually, because they've all, I think, helped to generate hostility on the part of the public and interest on the part of the public. As far as Bellick and Mason, I don't know where that'll end up. I don't know how much farther it can go without maybe physical blows being struck, but it's interesting to kind of keep an eye on.
Cobra, do you have any thoughts on trial by press? Oh, are we being unfair?
Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yes.
I'm trying to get my mic in there. Can you got me?
Yep.
Okay, good. That's the business that we're in. I mean, that's what they do. I mean, from the invention of TV and the news broadcaster out there and the whodunits and everything else, I mean, you know, like Denny said, I mean, that's what we do. You don't want us talking about it. Don't commit the crime or don't do whatever it is that you do to get us talking about it. I wanted to bring up something that nobody touched on, the distinction between Cindy and her daughter and all this going on. And I think it was Nancy Grace or Jane Velez Mitchell. I don't know which one it was. I watch them both periodically here and there. But apparently she lipped the words, "I love you," to Cindy when Cindy came in the courtroom the other day. And I did it in front of the mirror, and I'd like you to do it. How do they know that she said, "I love you," or did she say, "I loathe you"? She probably said, "I loathe you." And everybody said, "Oh, she ain't that sweet." She said, "I love you." She probably said, I loathe you."
Well, you know, I went up to, I called Jose over to me one time during a break. And actually, I think it was before a hearing started. And I asked him quietly. I said, don't you think that that when it comes to the trial and everything, with that if Casey acted a little bit more caring, you know, instead of indifferent toward her family, that the jury might look a little bit more positively on her? I mean, don't you think that's part of your strategy? And he said to me, he said, "I can't make her change." I said, "Well, you know, I don't know what you mean really by that." But he said, "You know, this girl is scared to death for her life. She doesn't know how to act." But, you know, that was his answer. And I said, okay, and that was good enough for me at that time. But, you know, when you look at her in the hearings now, and she doesn't look like she's frightened for her life, does she?
Not to me. She looks like she's having a good time.
Exactly, Jan. I agree.
Okay, and that obviously segues into the question of, are they going to make her over for the trial?
They're already working on it.
Right, but nothing's worked so far.
Well, she still has a couple weeks.
You can't make a purse out of a pig's ear.
No, but she has changed her demeanor a lot in court. I mean, she slips up, but you can see a difference, and it's kind of obvious. I mean, she's putting on another act.
Dave,
yeah.
do you think that, you know, she needs an extreme makeover before they parade her in front of a jury? Uh-oh. Denny, are you with us?
I'm here.
Yeah. Do you think that Casey needs an extreme makeover before she gets paraded in front of a jury?
I think they had a lot of work to be done there in the PR department, going back to you know, some of those initial hearings they had with the Baez team was being assembled and so forth. We've commented on multiple occasions about her actions, her expressions, the interaction between her and Baez and so forth. And I've said all along that she was not acting very, in my opinion, very sympathetic, or that anybody who were juror was going to feel a great deal of sympathy for. So, yeah, I think with all the stuff against her, yeah, she definitely needs to appear as, well, what do I want to say, sympathetic, I guess, as a decent person, convey that image of a poor young woman caught up in something that she's really beyond her control, she doesn't understand, blah, 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 and try to create that image.
Hmm. Dave, you've spent a good deal of time in the courtroom, and I'm not going to ask about, Casey's demeanor. I'm more interested in what your views are about Baez and Ashton. They seem to go out of their way to rile each other up. I mean, is this a sensible, thing for them to be doing?
Well, I think with respect to the defense, yeah, and I'm sure that Chaney Mason advised Baez to do whatever he could to aggravate the hell out of Ashton, because Ashton is known to have a hot temper. I mean, that's not new news. That's been around. A lot of attorneys have told me about his temperament. And so when he sits there clicking his pen and he turns and he looks at the prosecutor and says, well, I don't think my esteemed colleague was aware of that, you know, to make him out to look stupid. I mean, all this stuff really gets to Ashton. And I think that in the end, that's the kind of reaction that the defense wants the jury to see, that this is a man, who's a walking time bomb. And if they can get across that, it looks like to me like he's really prejudiced. So, I mean, any defense is going to do whatever they can. You know, that's what lawyers do. And you can't blame this defense for doing what they're doing. They're looking at a weakness, and they're going to do what they can with it. So,
and the jury's
I don't see anything wrong with it.
The jury's going to see Baez's tricks. They're going to see that. I mean, anybody can see it. And they will, too. They'll be able to see right through him.
Well, actually, I'm not so sure.
I agree
with you. I mean, the pen clicking really wasn't all that clear, you know, just watching it on the TV. But I'm sure it was hugely irritating in the courtroom. Dave?
No. Yeah, it is. You know, and you can one of the things about being there is that you can feel the tension. And one of the things that I've been plotting to write anyway is that I think that it's obvious you can sense a turning point in the courtroom. You know, like you can see the light at the end of the tunnel, and you know, here it comes, and you can feel it. And I think people are waiting for it to happen now, you know, with bated breath. But I think that you're going to get, like, reactions out of both sides. And it's going to be up to the judge to keep everybody in line.
Well, it's not.
But even during the OJ.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say I think you saw the same thing with the OJ trial. A lot of yelling, especially when it came to questioning, did you ever use the N-word? Well, come on, you're a liar. Now you're a liar. You know, you see a lot of raw emotion in those courtrooms. They're dramas.
Well, nobody expects them to go in there, the defense and the prosecution, to be best friends. They know they're going to argue with each other.
Mm-hmm. But you know what's interesting? When we take a break, it's like timeout, and they go and talk and kind of like
right.
They relax.
And they laugh with each other. And that kind of stuff.
Okay. As I said, the clock is ticking. The last area, or one of the last areas I was hoping to cover today, the infamous 48 hours. Who wants to run with that? Dave?
Well, I would say that... one of the things that the defense could be looking for is if they want to really taint a jury pool and claim that she'll never get a fair trial, that's one way to do it. But there's no law stopping unless the judge puts a gag order on it.
No, but my problem with is that he wants to blame the media for everything. Everything that goes wrong in the case, they want to blame the media for it. And who's doing it? They're the ones that keeps running to the media and giving interviews and all. Like they said before, he flew to New York City to do it. And now he's going to be doing this? And him and Cheney both at that.
Jen, I didn't actually watch it, but earlier today, before we went on air, you found a...
It was just a sneak preview.
Yeah, sneak preview of the...
I watched it.
Ask him.
Okay. Tell us about it.
Well, I'll tell you, the best defense that they had was the attorney for Cindy Anthony. He went off a laundry list and said they have no evidence, they have nothing, this doesn't work, that doesn't work, all the way down. He basically hammered every single thing that we've talked about and said, oh, that's not her, that didn't happen, that's not that. They have no proof. They actually have her in jail for absolutely no reason because they cannot prove a shred of anything that they have. That was some young buck attorney. He was giving them freaking hell. But the general feel that I had was that they got all this smoke and mirrors, but they got nothing, nothing at all. No matter what we feel, think, say, or anything like that, he basically hammered them hard, saying they have no evidence hooking her to the murder or the final result of this child, period, and simple.
Murder, too.
No motive, nothing, zero. And if you listen to him, I mean, he sold it better than Baez could ever sell it. And I listened to it, and I went, damn. And he supposedly, he represents the parents. But he went through the laundry list right down. You think that he represented her, but he went through the entire laundry list, and there was basically nothing that tied this girl to this child coming up dead.
Well, wow.
I would enter that into evidence myself. You know, 48 Hours did a very nice piece on it, and he brought up a lot of questions. If you watched it, I mean, he put a lot of food for thought out there.
Dave,
did
you watch it?
Well, I was going to say, no, I didn't watch it, but I did talk to a prominent defense attorney this week, And he said that he thinks that Casey would be convicted, but she won't be sentenced to death because they'll never find a how she died, for one thing. They can't prove for a fact that she was murdered. Those two things, and that's going to probably what this attorney said, just garner her a life without parole sentence.
Yeah, I've got to admit, that's kind of where my head's at. I just cannot see a death sentence coming. I can see a guilty sentence and life without parole, but no, they're not going to top her. Denny, do you think they'll... well, what do you think?
My opinion still is that there's that they'll probably get a conviction, but not the death sentence.
I agree with that.
You want me to tell you what I think?
Sure.
If it don't fit, you must have quit. And I think she's going to be acquitted. I think she's going to be acquitted.
Okay,
you think she is?
And actually, that brings us back to an earlier conversation we had on the program today. This whole business about the bathing suit and Tony Lazzaro, do you think that the defense are going to come out with, you know, that sort of 11th hour idea, you know, oh, it was an accidental drowning?
I think if they were going to use that, they should have said that to begin with.
Nah.
Well,
save it to the last for the simple reason.
Yeah, but the thing
confused.
Is, that all this time that they have been kept her in jail, if they had a good reason to get her off, why would they have kept her in jail for all this time?
Well,
building sympathy, building the fact that. I kind of agree that I think she's going to get a walk. I think it's going to come down to, I mean, here's the thing. They keep her in jail all they want. The only person that's going to actually convict her is going to be this jury. So
right.
Why fire your best bullet right now and get it out here in the press and get us all talking about it and going, whoa, did you hear that? And then taint more jury members. Keep it quiet to the end. And then right when they bring them all in, say, listen, folks, I just want to tell you straight up, I'll put my client on the stand. This was accidental, and, you know, it's just been a bad, she's had a bad time, you know, and that's it. Game
over. And everybody's supposed to believe her.
You only got
to
convince.
After all this time, everybody's supposed to believe her suddenly.
You only got to convince one of them, baby, that's it, one of them.
Well, it doesn't mean that somebody's
going
to buy it.
They're not going to put her on the stand.
You put 12 people, I don't care if you put it on the stand or not, if you put 12 people in the room, you throw out the story that I gave you 2 weeks ago. You got me. I convinced my damn self. So I say not guilty.
They never convinced me.
Well, that's why they're not going to have you on the jury,
Jen,
because you'd be the jury foreman, and she'd be stuck 24 hours later with a bad needle in her arm.
Jen, you wouldn't make it past the first question in jury selection.
They would arrest her crossing over into the state of Florida, for God's sake, Simon.
Okay, we're down to basically the last 90 seconds of the program.
You want to get her arrested? Just send her to
court. I just want to go around the table primarily so I can stop laughing.
Sorry, Simon.
Denny, give us your pearls of wisdom for the week.
Pearls of wisdom, okay. I think most of the scientific evidence is going to get in, that at least be heard, at least be allowed to be entered into the trial, and they'll argue it out there about the validity of it and the value of it. And I would not be surprised if, as we get a little closer, we see slight delays in actually getting this thing off the ground, but hopefully nothing, you know, where we're talking months. It'll come off fairly near the target date.
And Dave, your parting thoughts for us?
Well, I think the judge is going to let it in. My feeling is he's going to let everything in and let the defense argue it. I think that there's a good chance why they're saving this till the very end on the drowning is because what they're going to try and convince the jury at the very end is, did the state prove that she didn't drown accidentally? You know, that's like one of the saving graces I think that the defense has. I don't think it's going to work, but...
Yeah. And Cobra?
I agree with my panelists pretty much wholeheartedly, and I do believe that they are going to bring that Hail Mary in at the last go-round, exactly like Dave said, what I've been saying all along. It'd be stupid not for them to do that. And I don't know if we're running out of time on this program or it's the part where you want to get back to that, oh, honey, sugar, sugar business we listened to a little earlier.
No, we're like fresh out of time.
Yeah, see, I figured that's what it is. It's you and Jan with that honey, sugar, sugar shit.
Right. And Jan, your thoughts for the week?
Well, it is a good thing I'm not going to be on that jury, but... All I want is justice for Kaylee. Kaylee, too. But Kaylee, yes. And we have to remember that this child's life was taken, and it's no joke.
Right. And as I understand it, there is another court hearing scheduled for next Friday afternoon. We will be watching it, and I think
next Friday?
Probably a... Pardon?
Next Friday.
Yes.
I'm supposed to go out with Judge Perry and Jeff Ashton. I think Cheney Mason. We're going to go to Crystal and have lunch.
That's splendid.
We're not allowed in the Waffle House anymore.
I do hope that you'll have a detailed report for us. Anyway,
well, Simon, I just want to bid you well and happy canoodling to you and Miss Susie over there.
Okay, I'm sure we'll be back next Sunday, same bat channel, same bat time. I want to thank all of our panelists. I want to thank our listeners, and be good, be healthy, and be safe. We will talk again soon. Till next time. Goodbye.
Bye, everyone.
Sugar,
bye.
Sugar.
Thank you very much.
I'll get you some sugar, buddy.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye, baby.